Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Joining us on the show is former NBA player and forever NBA champion. He has his own ready-to-drink vodka lemonade called Scal's, which, to be honest, after guest hosting a three-hour radio show for a week, sounds like a delightful
treat. I have
treat.
Not heard about the vodka.
Oh, man, I need to know how to get those down here because feels like I really want one. He is Odyssey NBA insider Brian Scalabrine. Insider calls are brought to you by Shell V-Powered Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. And let's make Brian Scalabrine the giant interview.
Now, it's the giant interview presented by A-Team Roofing. Online at ateamroofers.com. The A-Team Roofing Giant Interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Welcome to the show, Brian. How are you this morning? Or today?
I'm doing well. I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a warning now. Like, it's vodka lemonade, but it's like 18% alcohol.
I saw this.
It ain't,
I saw
the
this. Hell?
Yeah, yeah.
I
don't play around.
You can buy it in a four-pack.
Oh, my God. I'm going to get a cot.
You remember, how many times have you gone out? And listen, I'm not making society better here, but I'm saying how many times have you gone out and been like, is there really anything in here? Can I get another shot? And then they bang you for another $8. I said, forget that, man. I'm going strong. I went over the top. So if you need after this show, get ready for the weekend. That's what's up.
That is definitely what's up. I saw that when I was like, oh, cool. Like another, like, I was like, nope, it's not a seltzer. It's a vodka lemonade. Okay, that's fun. Like a high noon. And then I saw 18.4% alcohol. And I was like, I'm having one of these. And then that's the end of my night.
Damn.
This is great. So I need to figure out how to get
this. Is that your secret, Brian? Like the 18% booze for to get through these shows? Or what are you doing?
I like it.
Yeah, it is. You know, it is. I think it is the secret when you're on a Friday night. But I don't have to get to. You know what? Because we're talking about NBA basketball, which I love. I really do. If I had to talk about like baseball or something like that, yeah, for sure. But but I love hoops, man. And we got a series now.
We do have a series. I am so excited that we like. I was really said earlier on the show. All I really want out of this is tight, close games, and for it to go as many games as possible, and hopefully have like something amazing happen. And did we ever have something amazing last night with that block that Giannis had? That was unbelievable.
Yeah, the degree of difficulty on that shot, on that block, I don't know how many guys in NBA history could have made that play. The fact that he was in the coverage, and when that ball went up, he just turned around and jumped, and he couldn't see the ball. He just had to guess where DeAndre Ayton would be, and he guessed perfectly, and then was above the square that quickly. A freak of nature of a block, and it's a game-saving block. Now, we had a little debate this morning obviously, LeBron's block was a better moment, but I've seen LeBron run down guys 500 times in block shots.
Yep.
I knew LeBron was going to block that shot. This one right here, the degree of difficulty, I don't know if there's five players in NBA history that could have made that play.
I think you're exactly right. You've seen LeBron do that enough times to where when it happened, you could see that coming. Like when the breakaway happened, you're like, oh, he's not letting this shot go in. I saw the alley-oop go up and I thought, well, this is a dunk, and then let's see if the Bucks can score. That came out of I jumped out of my seat when he blocked that because I did not see that coming, and that is that was really really special. If as a former NBA player. How excited or worried would you be if guarding Giannis was your assignment?
You know what? I actually, the way I look at that is, and this is going to like seem a little bit odd, right? When he goes one-on-one at the top of the key, I would be completely fine with that. I'd be like, listen, he's going to make tough shots. But,
sure.
You know, like I can guess. When he goes dribble handoff to the side and Chris Middleton's coming off 15 feet wide open.
Right.
Now what do I do? Do I leave Giannis's body? Do I get out of offensive defensive rebound position?
Right.
Do I step up the floor and challenge that shot? Because and I was surprised. I thought when he had those 40 points, he did it in such a way that is, in my opinion, unguardable. When I'm guarding him at the top and then all of a sudden he goes into a dribble handoff, I have dribble handoff responsibilities. And a lot of times it's not like a pick and roll where you can force that thing baseline. This guy's coming off a full head of steam with a defensive player behind him.
Right.
You have to step up. And so when he does that, I think he's unguardable. I was just surprised for whatever reason. And the Bucks have been like this all year. They're so inconsistent that they didn't do that more, but they made enough plays. And at the end of the game, in the fourth quarter, that's when he went into that dribble handoff. And that's when the Bucks became unstoppable. I'm surprised that they didn't do that throughout. I actually don't think that Giannis played his best game, even though he was amazing late in the game with the amazing block and everything like that. I still think he has another level to climb to.
Wow.
I'm with you. It seems impossible. It's so good, and he's so long. We're talking with Odyssey NBA insider Brian Scalabrine. Insider calls brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. I have been critical of Chris Middleton and how it's everybody thinks he's a good player, and he is a good. I mean, I'm not saying he's a bad player, but he's just like doesn't have a big star quality, and he has also not hit a bunch of shots in the finals. And then he stuck it in my face for sure. Last night was awesome, and with 40 points. Do you? I mean, he has got it. We actually know that Giannis is Giannis, and I feel like Chris Middleton is the key to. The key to the Bucks' success. Do you agree or disagree?
Oh, yeah. Well, so Middleton is always going to have two really good games. So I agree with you there. I think Holiday is the key to their success. If he's like shooting anywhere around 50% in a game,
sure.
They're unbeatable at that point. So I know what I'm going to get from Giannis. Even the worst version of Giannis, I know what I'm getting. You know, Middleton can go off, and if he can win you two games in a series, you just sign up for that. But I think their key is Drew Holiday. When it comes to Middleton, though, I know the best way to put it is this. I know what he's capable of, but he's not a consistent player. And superstars in this league, their inconsistencies come, they don't come from him just having a bad game.
Right.
Superstars in this league, the inconsistencies come from defenses throwing everything they have at Chris Middleton. He is still the superstar that, in a weird way, was getting wide open from 15 feet in the fourth quarter. So what superstar in the history of the game that can have 40 in a finals game is still getting wide open? What we remember from our superstars is the stuff that Devin Booker was doing.
Dude,
like Devin Booker
unreal.
Looked like Kobe Bryant last
yes,
night.
Yes, he was.
It was like those were real superstar type of looks, creating space where there is no space. So, yeah, I'm with you on Middleton, but because of when you have Giannis, and all the attention is focused on him. And I told you about those dribble handoffs, those pitch and follow screens. When you can do that, a guy like Middleton becomes unstoppable because everybody, DeAndre Ayton, is still trying to stay underneath Giannis so he doesn't get that full head of steam to the basket.
Absolutely. Devin Booker was so good last night that the referees gave him 8 fouls in order to let him stay in the game because they were enjoying watching him play. He was amazing. No. And, yes, you are right. It's Chris Middleton, he's always the guy. It's always easier when you have a dude on your team who's better than you that everybody pays attention to, and you get open shots. And so I feel like he always benefits from that. And so I can't tell if he's actually a really good player or if he just benefits from having Giannis, and so therefore he gets better looks.
Little bit of both. And he's not the only player in the NBA that benefits from being around other players.
Yeah.
You know, like stars for sure. So yeah, But Middleton is a guy who, and by the way, we should give him a ton of credit. Remember last year against Miami, game 4, they were about to get swept. He dropped 38 without Giannis against Atlanta. He had 40 without Giannis. So he has had his moments, but it is interesting how everyone is worried about Giannis getting behind the defense or crashing the glass where he's still getting wide open for 15 feet with no one in sight for, you know, like I'm talking 3 minutes to go in a game.
Absolutely. So, Chris Paul, certainly last game, and even in game 3, was not great. And last night, he was completely very not great. Do you have any idea what's going on with him? It's just like a rant, because it's uncharacteristic of him to be consistently bad. Do you have any insight on, like, what is he hurt? What's going on here?
Nah, Drew Holiday, man. Drew Holiday, middle linebacker playing point guard.
that's what's going on here.
He's a beast. Yeah, it really is. Like, he defensively, he's, and everyone would tell you, and a lot of people would be like, well, I can't believe Drew Holiday. What is he doing out there? You know, like, I guess it's one of those things where you, I allow him to do whatever he wants to do offensively if he can guard like that.
And sure,
he's one of these guys that he's impossible to screen. And when you do screen him, you feel it, and he gets, and he can play without his hand, and he moves his body so well. So I think that's the biggest reason why Chris Paul has struggled. Why Mike Budenholzer in game one went to a switching defense. Like, why give up 5 first-round picks and sell the whole entire farm to go get a guy like Drew Holiday if he's not going to guard Chris Paul? Like,
right.
That's the reason you have him, is to guard a guy like that. So I think Drew Holiday has made a huge difference in taking guarding Chris Paul, like, exclusively for the Bucks. But once again, I do think because of how great he is defensively, if he can make some shots, which is hard, I'm telling you guys, like, being a lockdown defender like that and having to compete on every single possession, you are going to end up just being toast on
your
the
legs
offensive
are gone.
End.
Yeah,
it's tough to get any type of rhythm, and he wants to be involved offensively, but his defense in this series has changed it, turned it around for the Bucks.
That makes sense. Do you think, because I know the Bucks won last night, I know the series is tied 2-2, but for most of that game, until that block happened, I just still felt like the Suns were going to win. Do you still feel like the Suns are going, I mean, like, I feel like the Suns are still in control and that the Bucks just played awesome for 2 straight games, but, like, that's not sustainable. Do you think anything has shifted, or are you still feeling the Suns?
So I think we see it opposite. Like, I don't.
Oh, you don't feel the Suns.
I thought the Bucks played terrible. I thought the Bucks played terrible.
Really?
I thought the Bucks, what they're capable of. Yeah, the Bucks. I did not think they played good Milwaukee Bucks basketball. I did not think that they moved that ball side to side.
No, you're right. You're right.
Okay. So I think that they have. The way I look at it is like this, right? If both teams play up to their full potential, the Bucks are a better team. But the Bucks, to me, and I'm not trying to jump on Kendrick Perkins and Jalen Rose and Charles Barkley and all those guys, right? They're going to say that this team is dumb. I'm going to be a little bit more specific. They throw away possessions. They just do. They just, like, they don't understand how successful, and you know, you guys know how life is, right? You do a show, you figure out the success of a show, and you replicate that show over and over again because you had success doing it. They have success and they go away from things. It is mind-boggling to me.
Sure.
Every good team, every good player in this league, when they have success, they take that success and they build off it. They wait for the team to make an adjustment. Then they counter that adjustment. And this is the NBA Finals. We're talking about a first-round team here. So, like, when the Bucks are at their best, I think they're unbeatable. But last night, I just thought they threw away offensive possession. Luckily for them, they were amazing defensively, and they played Giannis at the five, which I thought that really helped. But if Pat Connaughton is not stepping up and making those big shots, and it is a guy who was not that confident in shooting about 2 weeks ago, and all of a sudden he's taking big shots in the NBA Finals. If he's not making those shots, and you're not, that historic block, I would call it, if that's not happening, Suns win this game and probably Suns win the championship.
I think you're probably right. It just felt like everything. You're right. It felt like everything shifted with that block. I thought the Bucks. They didn't play. You're right. They didn't play and move the ball. But if you get 40 out of Chris Middleton and instill it over, 26 for Giannis, and you make Chris Paul play as bad as he did, that feels like you played pretty good. But I guess it's overall they did not play great
but
Bucks basketball.
I'll say this. If the Bucks, let's say the Bucks, everybody replicates the performance that we just saw, like, the Suns are winning by 15 at home.
You're
like,
right.
That was a game that was won by the crowd. And you guys, you're in Memphis, and you guys know when that crowd gets into it, your team can play bad and win games when you're at home. You cannot play bad and win games on the road. So if they just if they do that all over again and they're in Phoenix, Suns win by 15 to 18 points. So I just – but if the Bucks do what they did in game three, the Bucks are going to win by 8. So that's the inconsistency, and you talked about it with Middleton, and I'm going to talk about it with the Milwaukee Bucks. They're the most inconsistent finals team I've ever seen.
I think you're right. I think you're onto something. Well, I got one more for you. I'm actually just really curious about this. Is the Big Three just a total blast to play in?
Oh my gosh! You know, I live up in Boston,
yep.
So there's not a lot of good pickup in Boston.
Right.
I'm keeping it real, right? It's not a hotbed for pickup basketball.
I'm Memphis,
in Atlanta,
Cal.
Houston. I bet you Memphis has some serious dogs out there.
Absolutely.
On the court, right?
At the precinct.
Philadelphia,
yes.
LA. So in my world, this is like a dream come true because I love playing, like, first of all, against – I'm kind of a masochist this way. Like, I'm not satisfied unless I'm getting my butt kicked. It's such a – it's the weirdest thing. I'm only comfortable when I go to pick up and I'm getting cooked. Then I'm like – I go home like, man, I can't wait till next week to play pickup again. But it didn't happen a lot here, and it happens in the Big Three. I love it. And we're all super cool, like, off the court, but we get after it on the court. It's the best of both worlds.
That's awesome. You know, cool. Honestly, I'm familiar with you as an NBA player, and I obviously know you as and know you cover the NBA, and I've heard you cover the NBA. But I, full disclosure, it's been a long time, maybe if ever, since I've actually Googled you. And I did not see this when it came out, but I saw a video of you just totally demolishing a high school player who I'm assuming was talking trash and thought he was better than you, and you put him in his place, and it brought warmth to my heart. And I hope it was as fulfilling for you to beat him like 11-0 as it was for me to watch it.
So I have an obnoxious son who's 8 years old,
right?
And when the guy came over and challenged me, I didn't want to play. Yep. My son gave me a side eye. When the guy came over and talked trash to me, my son was like, "You gonna let him talk to you like that? You're sorry, Dad. You're sorry.
That is great.
With my son standing right there, I had to go in there and do the deal.
I love it that your son, your 8-year-old son, was the catalyst for this. That is fantastic. I gotta say,
what are you telling your kids? You know, come on, man, you gotta compete every possession. You know what I mean?
Right.
You gotta get after it on the defensive end. You can't back down from nobody. And then I'm gonna be like, nah, man, I don't want to play. What am I supposed to do?
You're exactly right. Now it puts me in a bad spot because I have a 7-year-old son, but I have been medically diagnosed with Chandler Parsons' knee, and so therefore I don't really play basketball too much anymore. Mm. But now if I get challenged by a high schooler, I feel like I'm gonna have to get my old ACL brace out, strap it on, and let's go to town. That's awesome. Well, Brian,
be careful.
Be careful. Absolutely. Brian, thank you so much for joining us today. We really do appreciate it. That was
thanks, Brian.
NBA insider Brian Scalabrine.
Appreciate you, Brian.
Insider right, calls are brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. We know life is busy, so come to Shell to fill up, save up, and snack up to make the most of the stop you need to make.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.